It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
No police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
No police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
Captain Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older, then we wouldn't have to wait so long.
All right, welcome to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. I'm the host of Speak Out, Paul LaVoy, and the host with the most on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, a pioneer himself, Dan De Los Santos, is here as well. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Hi, Paul. Thank you. And so we got a fun show today.
You're kind of the, in movie terms, you're the director slash actor today.
I guess so.
You're the host, but you're also the guest.
I'll swap hats as we talk.
Okay. No worries. Who did you bring in for us today?
Well, today we're talking about the Kids on the Colorado River program, and I brought with us a couple of the board members. I brought Michael Peters, who's one of the primary guys who started the program from its conception. And also we have Dan Roddy, who is with State Parks, and he's right on our board. And he's been absolutely instrumental in bringing this program to where we are today.
Where's the passion, guys? You know, Mike, you were on the ground floor here. Dan, I don't know your extent as far as when the program started. I'll start with Mike, though. Mike, where's your passion level now? Is it more than ever, or is it like, man, what did I bite off here?
Well, the program itself has gone way beyond what I ever thought it would be. You know, I just wanted to get the kids out on a boat.
Right.
And that was my passion, because that's what I've been doing my entire life. I had my own kids do that. Dan Roddy, Dan De Los Santos, kind of took it to where, well, not only can we get them on the boat, but we can teach them a lot about the history. We can teach them a lot about the environment. And I have just been kind of on their coattails after that. I got them on the boat. These guys have done an incredible job to get them educated about Lake Havasu and the opportunities that are here for every kid that we deal with.
What about you, Dan Roddy? Same question.
Well, it's funny because I tell the story about how Dan De Los Santos approached me in the produce section at Smith's.
Oh, okay. You were voluntold.
Well, he'd met this guy, and they had this idea and weren't sure how they were going to make it work. And again, it just kind of grew from there. And one of the biggest things from my standpoint is that the ideas and the goals of Kids on the Colorado River truly match up and mirror the mission of the Arizona State Parks and Trails. And that's to be the stewards of the environment, the properties that are dedicated to the enjoyment of outdoor recreation. And it really matched up well to create outdoor classroom settings where we're able to bring these students out to the park. And in my work, I deal with a lot of the different agencies, the alphabet soup, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, we've been able to make contacts with other agencies as well as educators, and really develop a program that is providing for our junior high age students a great experience, where they're getting to spend time with college students and college professors, industry leaders when it comes to wildlife management in the Arizona Game and Fish Department, people at Bureau of Land Management who have their doctorates in fish biology. And to see those people interacting with 7th and 8th graders is something that has been remarkable. And so it's really grown well. It's a perfect fit for Arizona State Parks. You know, we just did our desert program for the 8th grade here in town that we're going to talk about a little bit. But in a scenario like that, we were able to pull resources from Arizona State Parks, from Cattail Cove State Park, a little bit south of town, mm-hmm. from Buckskin Mountain Park down in the Parker area.
Right.
Staff from there came up to help educate these 8th graders. We brought staff from Phoenix out to the Contact Point property as part of the program. And we took the idea that Mike and Dan started with, of getting every kid on a boat, and we're doing that. And now we're getting every kid on a guided hike,
right?
And teaching them some safety. So it's been remarkable, and it is very aligned with what we look to do at state parks.
Dan or Danny, I'll go Dan and Danny.
Okay.
You started this program. It was like Dan Roddy said, kids that had never been on a boat. And a lot of your childhood and teenage years were obviously on a boat. Is it what you thought it was going to be, or more, this Kids on the Colorado program?
Well, when I met Mike Peters, you know, he came to me and he was describing this concept that he had, and that somebody had simply said, reach out to Dan, me, and you know, maybe you guys can come up with a cool idea, a plan. And really, when I look at this program and everything that Dan Roddy's just shared and what Mike envisioned, I think about, when I think about the Havasu Pioneers radio show or the Pioneers of Lake Havasu, I really feel this program peels back the pages, takes us back to the origins of Havasu, where we all walked the street, the desert, were on the lake as kids, and right. We knew a lot of this information. But somehow that education disappeared on us over the next couple generations. The program actually takes us back, gives our kids that opportunity
right.
to have that that chance in life, to have a really great upbringing. And as Mike Peters has made it very clear, you know, really the idea was to get them out and doing things after school, make sure that they had an opportunity to do something other than hold their phone and text friends and get on video games. I mean, what happened to going out and having a wonderful afternoon, whether it be fishing on the lake or taking a walk in the desert and hanging out with your friends, you know, and doing something yeah. constructive. So I really believe that that's what this program provides, is an opportunity to have that knowledge to do exactly that.
Did any of you learn anything that you didn't know through this program? Did you learn anything, Mike?
You know, Dan and I have been out, and we've talked to so many different clubs here and talked to Rotary clubs, and it's all over the board. And it was mostly for sponsorship, but the response we got back from people within those clubs, parents that would come up to us and say, well, why is it just the 7th graders? Why is it just the 8th graders? Why can't it be all kids? And so I think some of the things that Dan and I have taken away, there's obviously scale. You know, we can only get so many kids through a program in a day, get them back to school. So we have scale that we need to worry about. But even our sponsors were coming up and saying, well, we're giving you this money, but, you know, we're giving this money for all 7th graders, all 8th graders in Lake Havasu, not just some 8th graders. And that really kind of hit home to me and taught us that, hey, you know, they're exactly right. And we've really kind of started to kind of figure out how we can include all kids. And so we'll talk about the community today, but this is a program that we want all kids to be able to get through, learn. And so I think I've learned that, and that's kind of where we're heading and where we're moving towards.
Is there anything you do differently, Dan Roddy? Like, are the numbers – I mean, the numbers of kids, are you're reaching out to a lot of kids, and obviously there's a lot of distraction when you get a lot of kids together.
Right.
But that to me would seem like a big challenge. But are there any other challenges?
There's a lot. I mean, logistically, you know, you're bringing a couple hundred kids out to a remote location, and you're moving them from classroom to classroom, almost like a high school student moving around the school building, or you're doing it in a park. So we've got programs in place and tools in place to help that work. One of the things about it is we've really benefited from listening to educators. We have a couple of educators on our board for Kids on the Colorado River, but we have a great relationship with Lake Havasu Unified School District, as well as the leadership at Thunderbolt Middle School.
Right, right.
They're helping us identify how we're going to expand this, as Mike had alluded to, how we're going to incorporate some of those other schools that have junior high classes, and we're going to be able to branch out into that in the coming season. Wow. As we look at the 24-25 school year. So we're very excited about that. We've learned a lot. We've learned how much kids eat. You know, that's one of the things that you know, we feed them during the day. And
that's
so
funny.
we've had things like that. But we're amazed at how much the program has grown and take off since our first pilot program of about 40 students. We're now at, every time we do these two-day programs, it's about 200 students a day. And it's something that's really been amazing how quickly it's grown.
Right.
It's been a lot of work, but we've been blessed with some of the people that are helping us.
We do have a phone call. Let's go ahead and go to the phone. Caller, you're live on Speak Out, the Havasu Pioneers radio show.
Thank you. This is Dr. Jeanette Nangri from ASU. I had to call in and harass these guys.
Hi, Jeanette.
Good morning, Jeanette.
I'm going to leave this one for you, Dan.
Oh, my gosh. We have our favorite ASU board member on the line with us today. Jeanette reminds us what it's like to have a hard job and have a big smile to go with it.
Oh, wow.
So she's nice. She's that person.
Hey, guys. Morning.
Instead of an easy job and a smile like me.
So, Jeanette, what do you got for us today?
I just wanted to call in. I've been listening. I wanted to just congratulate you guys on the program. You know, it's been a couple years now. I, again, Mike mentioned riding your coattails. I feel like I've been riding your coattails from the beginning. What a brilliant idea for a program. And from what I've seen, it's morphed since the inception and the idea with our pilot. In the beginning, like Mike mentioned, just get them out on the boat. To me, that's a level of inspiration. Like you talked about, you grew up on the lake and in the desert, and times have definitely changed, and I think just the chance to get the kids out there and be inspired by the lake, by the natural environment, again, aligned with what AZ State Parks and Trails, their mission. I think our mission at ASU is very similar. We want to be embedded in communities. We want people to know where they come from, understand the environment, understand the role that they play in their community. And so from a simple boat ride, an inspiration to the outdoor classrooms and an education, you know, we call these experiential learning opportunities. We're always looking for chances for these kids to get out and take some of the things they've learned in the classroom, the theoretical things, and actually use them. It helps their memory. It helps them retain the information. And again, spark a curiosity that they can carry with them for the rest of their lives. And so part of what the educational component of the program, it involves going out into the field, doing work that you cannot do in a classroom. And so, you know, for ASU's booth, whether it's for the water booth where we go onto the river's edge and actually sample the water, take it out, you know, test for different dissolved solids or look at the organisms that live in it, it gives the students a chance to tie, you know, their curiosity to something tangible. And so, you know, for the water program, we're sampling in that way. For the desert program that we just had, we went out and we looked at different soil compositions, all in an effort to help teach these kids, where do you live? Where are you from? You know, what does it mean to live in the desert in Arizona? Can you please pass that knowledge to your friends, to your parents, to your community? Can you be stewards of our state and our community as you move forward? And so I can't say enough good things about the program, the community support, from the federal level at BLM all the way down to local organizations. Everybody stepped up, 100% volunteer, never seen a program like it, has nothing, nowhere to go but up, and I look forward to the future.
That's awesome.
You are so fantastic, Jeanette. Thank you, because I had about three questions, and you answered all three of them for me right off the bat.
I'll tell you, the one thing that Jeanette's really humble, and her program, you should see the kids' faces when they're looking in the microscopes. They're digging stuff out of the lake. And the credibility that a professor like Jeanette adds to our program, you can't buy that stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable, and she does such a great job with not only her own kids from ASU, but the kids in the community as well.
She focuses on that interaction. And I think that that's one of the founding solutions to our program, is rather than just sit and listen, Jeanette really puts forth a big effort to get the kids to interact
right.
with that education, because the retention is so much better.
Jeanette, let me ask you this. How do you take your knowledge at the collegiate level, obviously, and dumb that down? I don't want to say dumb it down, but relate more to the junior high level, because that's a high level of knowledge that you have.
Sure. I mean, we'll call it simplifying rather than dumbing down. But part of our mission in our science courses, so we have a variety of programs at ASU Lake Havasu. A couple of them that fit and align really well with the kids on the Colorado program are our environmental science degree and then our biology degree. So part of our responsibility to those students, the college students, when we teach them, is for them to go out into the world and be able to distill complicated ideas, scientific principles, down to a level where anyone at any age can understand them. And so we utilize our students as a bridge between the high-level knowledge and the more simple level that anyone can understand. And so we do some of the work behind the scenes, both in the classroom and through our Eco Club, Environmental Community Outreach Club, which is a student-led club. So I rely on the students, our college students themselves, to say, okay, here are the issues that we would like to hit in this, you know, particular water or desert program. What do you guys think of them? Are they relevant to what you think kids are, you know, concerned with, or what you're concerned with today? And then we work in classes to try to take the more complicated idea and say, okay, this is a middle school level kid, you know, we all know that age kid. My own daughter was in the pilot program. She's participated in both. And so even us teachers, our college teachers, we do have a sense for, you know, what is the right level for a middle schooler. And so then we just work with our college students on some of the lessons, and they sort of mine through and create visuals and experiences that they feel like the kids will spark their curiosity. And so it's a little bit of trial and error. And I think sometimes in early days, maybe it was too technical. And so then the next time we run the program, we might try for a slightly different message. So there's an element of trial and error, though. We also talk to the middle school administrators and teachers to get a sense of, you know, what are the standards for 7th grade and 8th grade science? Can we align with those standards? And we really have a holistic view of how to approach that. And so we're all discussing it at every level, whether it's me and my fellow faculty, Dr. Carrion Lloyd, who's been instrumental in executing ASU's aspect of the program. Mm-hmm. Just every level we're having these conversations about, is it hitting right? And a lot of it is easy to tell. Are they smiling? Are they curious? Are they asking questions? It isn't hard to figure out if you're hitting it at the right level.
Well, you never know, too. You might have touched one, two, a half a dozen kids that now they know what they want to be when they grow up. You know, something clicked, right? Yeah. Dan?
Yeah, you know, Jeanette, it's inspiring to hear you talk, because when I see you physically on site, I've seen you literally stop and change up whatever it is you're doing to get the reaction from the kids so that you reach that optimum amount of interaction and, of course, recognition from the faces, smiles, and everything. So, hey, I want to thank you for calling in. We're gonna end up taking a quick break here. But, folks, Jeanette, you are the best. And Jeanette, it's just one example of all the major educators that we bring to the table with this program. So stay tuned. We're going to come back with some more information.
All right, perfect.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. All right, again, it's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show number 54, the Kids on the Colorado River Edition, with founders Dan De Los Santos, Mike Peters, and board member Dan Roddy. Did I get that right?
Yes.
All right, perfect. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. So, Danny, do you own that vinyl from Breakfast in America? It was one of the first albums I ever got as a kid.
I own the CD.
Oh, the CD. No, I'm saying I had the vinyl when I was like 12 or 13.
I had it when I was a little older than that, but yes.
But, yeah, I appreciate Wayne from Neat Pools calling in. And, yeah, it's the big 6-0, Wayne, in case you were wondering. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Also, Patio Paradise. By Just Meats, all the cuts all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. By Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Ask about their superior maintenance plan. And by Blonzi's Steakhouse, 4501 London Bridge Road in Desert Hills, where steaks are just the beginning. Love their breakfast, but they also feature the Prius. It's an all-veggie sandwich. Melissa Lucas, the owner, has a pretty good sense of humor. And, of course, our exclusive Havasu Pioneers Radio sponsor is Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. And get those ACs tuned up, man, because we're in for it this summer, I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be hot.
It's going to be long.
Yes,
because
it is.
I think it's going to start late. And the later it starts, the later it lasts.
True.
It's always like that, right?
Yep. Tune up your ACs now.
So, yeah, we like to play older music for the Pioneers from back in the day. So that's why we play the Supertramp. But
very cool.
What's the plan now?
Well, we have with us, of course, in the studio, Dan Roddy and Mike Peters with the Colorado Kids on the Colorado River educational program. And we're talking about our recent desert program, and we're going to be talking about our community day, which will actually be the third phase of this program.
Oh.
So what most people have heard about us for is the lake program, which has been a complete success. We've actually hosted that three times now, and it's done really well with the students, and those are seventh graders. But then we have the same kids, the seventh graders, that now are eighth graders. And our team came up with the concept of putting together a desert program. I mean, why not teach them about the desert? That's the immediate neighboring environment here living on the Colorado River.
Right.
And so Mike and Dan, why don't you guys chime in and share what that program's all about?
Well, I wasn't much of a desert person. I was always kind of on the lake, and Dan Roddy kind of said, well, you know, there's a whole other section of this thing. And so I was a little skeptical in the beginning, bringing up whatever, but I got into it when I saw the people that started coming into this program even more from BLM, Game and Fish. BLM brought donkeys and search and rescue. You know, that's such a huge part of our community. Those are volunteer guys that spend their money on their vehicles to go out and rescue people in the desert. And so Dan Roddy, Dan DeLosantos kind of explained to me that, you know, that's an extremely important part of this program. And I'll pass it off to Dan Roddy because he really kind of implemented all of this.
Well, one of the things that we saw, Paul, is that as we've done this, and we've done it, I think, well, more people have noticed, and we've been able to identify more people that want to be involved. Mojave Search and Rescue is a great example of that. And the work they do is so important in our community, and it's something where we needed a way to communicate a lot of that. And so expanding it to include a desert program made sense. It gave us an opportunity to connect with the eighth graders, and the idea being that we'll see that same student twice. You know, if we look at how important Bureau of Land Management is to our community and the work that they do, that finding a seat for them at the table, this desert program gave us that vehicle to do that. As Mike had mentioned, they brought out some wild burros that have been rehabilitated.
Right.
Able to talk about that program that, you know, a lot of us might go up to Oatman and see, but now to learn about it, learn about the animal well-being, how that works. The folks from Arizona Game and Fish being able to come out and talk about the reptiles and what you can learn from animals and things like that. It was really a continuation of that. We believe we had this volume of information we wanted to pass along. And that's the two sides of our community.
I didn't mean to cut you off if you were still going. Were there the precautions, though? Like kids, their first instinct, can I feed them?
Right.
You know, don't feed the burros, don't feed the wildlife, that, because our diet's different than their diet. And the BLM is always warning us about that. Was that passed on to the kids as well?
Well, in this scenario, we had it set up where they were able to feed these burros that were there that day. But that helps BLM get the message across.
Right.
This burro is okay to feed. Here's what to do if you're out somewhere, you're on a hike. One of the things we did in the desert program, just as we talked about the value of getting them out on a boat. And at the desert program, Arizona State Parks took all the students on a guided hike where they got to appreciate and take stops along the way and learn about, okay, when you stop here, here's what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. Here's what you see. We took them up to the height of the peninsula on the plateau and had them look back at the island. And there we had large blown-up photos of what the island looked like in the 1970s, what the island looked like in the 1990s, and they can look out there today and see what the island looks like. And so the ability to cover that history as they're on a guided hike are unique opportunities that we were able to provide for them, and we're looking to continue doing that.
So, Danny, speaking of the island, did the students today realize that it was once a peninsula?
You know, there was actually a historical portion of the program that talks about Pittsburgh Point and a number of other early historical elements. Some of the photos would show what the lake actually looked like and the city looked like before there was a city.
No channel.
Right. And so some of the material that was shared reflects that. So when we look at the desert program, you know, people go, well, okay, you're teaching them about the desert, but if you're listening to what Dan Roddy's saying, it was a hike. It was actually field activity. It was interaction with the desert. So that means that they were not standing or sitting in a chair. They were actually walking. If anybody's familiar with Contact Point, it's a fairly large area. And trust me, by the time these kids got done walking, they'd gone through a couple of bottles of water. And so we took them through that. I'm with Mike. I wasn't always all about certain things about the desert. And one of the things I was really struggling with was the geocaching aspect. But as it turns out, that really was probably one of the best educating elements because it taught the kids how to use a GPS.
Ah.
And so, Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit more about
geocaching? Geocaching is phenomenal.
Yeah, so our folks from our Arizona Family Campout, the award-winning Arizona Family Campout, came out from Phoenix and conducted geocaching classes and spent a portion of the program instructing the students how to use the handheld GPS. And then sent them on a course to find different geocaches. And the students loved it, and it got them involved in the environment. We did have one rattlesnake sighting while we were doing that. So, again, we had to show being prepared, knowing what you're going to see in the environment. And we were able to do that in a controlled setting for them with the hope that if that sparks their interest, they'll be able to go out and do that with their family, with their friends, that type of thing. But it's a great program that the State Parks offers. I was thrilled that we were able to get that portion of it here for people in our community to get to experience.
Mike, what really I'm thinking of when I was in school, right? You're the fifth grader, the sixth grader. That's almost to that point where you're going to be participating in this program. Do you think the kids now, there's a buzz in the lower grades saying, hey, we can't wait to get there so we can be part of this program?
You know, as part of our thought when we very first started the program is we were going to go to the elementary schools, but there's five of them. And so it became more of a logistical thing.
Right.
But we don't want to forget them, and we are actually talking about trying to promote Community Day and things like that so that they do have a spark of interest to come in and see us when they're in 7th grade and 8th grade, because we have to have their parents sign a permission slip to make them be able to come to the park on the bus and be covered and all that kind of stuff. And so it really comes down to the parents wanting their kids to learn this information and the kids getting them the permission slip and those kids signing that permission slip and getting it back. So I do want a spark of interest in those younger kids so that they're already going, hey, right. Yeah, where's my permission slip? I got to get this thing signed. I'm going on that trip.
And, you know, we actually had a much better participation with signing of the permission slips this season. We can't emphasize enough that you as a parent, if you're listening, ask your kid, did you take the program? I didn't see a permission slip. What happened? So ask that question.
Right.
And just so you know, we did invite the principals from the other schools that we intend to invite. They did get a chance to come down and see the program in action. And so they will be sitting down at the table here going forward. And we hope that that brings a very positive conclusion. So I think we got a break coming up, Paul.
Absolutely.
And we'll come back. We're going to talk about the third program, which is the Community Day.
All right. Perfect. We're going to play this one for Marissa June, my production assistant, a little Sticks. And it's perfect for the show. It's called Boat on the River. Little Tommy Shaw back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you by our exclusive Havasu Pioneers Radio sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. All right, we're back on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, episode number 54, talking about the kids on the Colorado with founders Dan De Los Santos, Mike Peters, and board member Dan Roddy. We have a special guest in the studio. We have somebody on the phone. It's a busy one today, Dan, so I'm just going to get right to the sponsors. We're brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere, a fantastic view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair. Also by Springberg Wealth Management, by Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, by SamsGuns.com. Sam will be on this Friday, by the way. And by Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. And as always, buy local or buy local. And our exclusive Havasu Pioneers Radio sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. And I'm going to go to Dan De Los Santos right now.
Well, we have a caller, and I think it's yes. Greg Garcia. Greg, are you there with us?
I'm here.
Hey, great, man. Greg is one of our volunteers and one of the many success stories that when the volunteers come out, it's how these programs work, and there's so much to do. Know that we always are in need of volunteers. Greg, what was your experience like this year?
The experience this year was that every time it gets better. That's all I can say. And the first time, the thing that stuck out for me, I have two younger kids that will be attending this event as they age through, you know, their school years. And I'm blown away that this is available now. And the thing that really drove it home was the first one that you guys had that was on the river. One of the kids had grown up here in Havasu, and I asked her, is this pretty cool? Have you ever done something like this? And she says, no. I asked, have you ever gone on a field trip? And she told me no. And I grew up, you know, in the city where we had field trips to all kinds of things. And that to me blew me away, but it also gave me the feeling like, hey, we're actually bringing that to the community. You know, and that is something that has never been done. Something that for so many years probably has been overlooked. And the fact that there is an organization out there that is looking, you know, down that timeline to set something up for the kids is, I don't know, it's something else. It's something else. This past one, it was out in the desert. There were a lot of kids that haven't gone outside for a while.
Wow.
And it blew me away that some of the kids that were hesitant to trek through the desert, by the end of their day, or, you know, when they hit a certain station that kind of let them go exploring in the desert, that they were running. They were just having fun. I guess letting them run it out, like, I guess would be the best way to put it.
Right. And that's how it starts, and, right, Greg? I mean, yeah, you know, that, you take those first steps into that direction, and all of a sudden it becomes a lifestyle.
Yeah, and how many of them are gravitating to, I don't know, the how search and rescue works? And, you know, we always hear in this town about stories, you know, search and rescue has to do something. And but you never see what goes into it. A lot of them really liked that. A lot of them liked learning about the habitat.
So, you know,
it was definitely an eye-opener for me on this one, again, that just the simple act of going outdoors and taking them to it is a necessity here.
I can't thank you enough for sharing those thoughts with us, Greg. You know, it's inspirational to have a parent, you know, call in, let us know that the program's working. We've got a couple things we're going to cover today, but that was Greg Garcia. That was one of our volunteers that comes and helps us with our program each year. Greg, thank you so much for your help, and we've got another guest speaker today.
Yes, thank you, Greg.
Thank you so much, Greg. We have Tracy.
Tracy Greeley.
I know, right?
We can't say Jones anymore.
I know there's an adjustment there. And so one of the things just before, and we're going to be moving quickly through this, but one of the things that's coming up is something very special that we've been offered, and I'm going to let Tracy share that.
Well, thank you. We have been invited to join on board with NASCAR through MRN, which is
Motor Racing Network.
Thank you. Yes. Paul knows because he does the programming.
Right.
Anyway, every year NASCAR does a NASCAR Day Giveathon, and they have reached out to radio supporters. And with that, the radio groups that they have reached out to get to choose their own local charity. And how this works is that on these days, May 14th and 15th of this year, from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., so from 8 a.m. on the 14th to 9 p.m. on the 15th, we can make a donation at the NASCARDayGiveathon.org website to Kids on the Colorado, which means they will receive 75% of your donation, and the NASCAR Foundation will receive 25%. So you're not just giving to one organization, but you're giving to two with your donation, whatever that be. It could be $5. It could be $5,000. How great would that be? Anyway, this is an opportunity for the communities to come together. Radio Central will devote all three radio stations to block air time on those 2 days, where all we talk about is the NASCAR Day Giveathon, and where we will have interviews from NASCAR racers, NASCAR people, the charities themselves, mm-hmm. and with Kids on the Colorado as well. We're going to focus all of our attention so everybody can make a donation to Kids on the Colorado through NASCAR Day Giveathon.
Wow, your baby's growing up, isn't it?
Thank you enough. Wow. You know, when we received that information, my jaw dropped, and we were very humbled by your gesture, and we look forward to it. And I guess what we have left is very little time, but we're going to try to wrap up the third and final phase of our program here, an introduction. And I'm going to let Dan Roddy start with it so that we can kind of roll right through it.
We're at about 5, maybe 6 minutes, Dan.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So, Paul, I appreciate that. And one of the things is Mike Peters had mentioned earlier, and Dan Del Santos heard a lot of this as well, is what about a child in our community that's not in the 7th or 8th grade, or a child that, you know, was already in high school by the time we started this program. Hmm. And that's where the idea of this community day came along. And what it is on Sunday, May 5th, we've rented out the Relics and Rods Hall at the Aquatic Center, and we're inviting everybody in the community to come out. And we're providing free booth space to organizations and businesses that have offerings to get youth involved, regardless of age, with a focus on outdoor recreation, but not limited to that. But how can we open this idea up to everybody in the community? Come out, learn more about outdoor recreation. Learn more about the sciences, where you can go. For example, some of the things that we've talked about that we're hoping to incorporate. MCC runs science camps. ASU Havasu runs things to avoid brain drain during the summer.
Sure.
There's programs you can sign up for. Our own Lake Havasu Parks and Recs Department. This is scheduled before they open up registration for all of their summer programming. We have, through Arizona Game and Fish Department, free paddleboarding classes, free kayak classes. You have to register. How do we get more people to learn about those things, more people involved with them? So what we're doing is we're inviting everybody to come to the Aquatic Center on May 5th at 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. To come out and learn about these things. We're going to have some nice raffle prizes for some youngsters to win. Some of them will be based on the program that we've done. We're going to give out some handheld GPS units. We're going to give out some field microscopes. But we're also talking to some vendors about some bigger ticket items. So those things will be available. But again, the idea is to showcase for the entire family, how do you get more involved? The Sea Scouts are going to be there. We're working on the Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts to confirm them, the Girl Scouts. But it's all about getting more involved in our community through some activities, and that's what we're looking to showcase.
You know, I was out with the our local Kiwanis Club. I'm a board member with Kiwanis, and the Earth Day cleanup. Mm-hmm. And you really appreciate the just right there by the highway, you know, the ecosystem right there, and the importance of folks, watch your trash, watch everything that falls out of your vehicle in that, because there were probably 20 to 30 bags out there that were full of trash alongside of the road. But that's another thing that really the appreciation for this program in the desert and the lake at the same time is, you know, pick up after yourself, folks.
Yeah, if you look at the seven essential principles of outdoor recreation, is something that we talk about a lot at the parks. Those are things that we highlight and we look to instill in that stewardship component that we're trying to educate people on. We have the desert environment. We have the riparian environment along the river.
Right.
Those are things we want people to have a recognition for, a better appreciation for. And this is, for us, the next logical step, because this is open to the entire community. If you're hearing us today, please put it on your calendar.
Community, what's the date on that?
May 5th.
May 5th.
And so one of the things I really want to emphasize with the Community Day, with the desert program, with the lake program, we have taken the opportunity to bring the kids up to a certain level of information and knowledge, which is great. Potentially they are the most knowledgeable individuals in the country that now have that information. But now what?
Right.
We were asked, what now? What about the kid who's got all, what am I supposed to do with all that information? So with the Community Day, if you're an active club or a business that has maybe a rental company, has you know, a great club organization from hiking, golfing, you name the sport, diving,
fishing,
especially radios. Fishing, radios, you know, we encourage you to get a hold of Dan Roddy down at the park and offer the opportunity. And it's a first-come, first-served scenario with our plan of action, and Dan will describe that to you when you call in. But come down and offer that next level so that these kids have the ability to get maybe a discounted rental fishing pole or a boat or a kayak or whatever the case may be. So that now all of a sudden from the kids on the Colorado River, we're taking and handing all these, and I'm going to say potentially the 7th and 8th graders of Lake Havasu City, mm-hmm. back over to the community and said, hey, here, they're ready to go. Show them how to go fishing, you know, give them the opportunity, and they'll come back to your businesses.
Gotcha. Great show, guys.
Just real quick.
Real quick.
They can contact me at 928-855-2784 to register or gather more information on the Community Day.
And we have a website, which is www.kidsonthecoloradoriver.org, and also look for us on Facebook.
I don't think you need the www anymore.
Okay, I don't have to. That's fine.
I think you know it. But breaking news, Dan is also scheduled for May 7th, and he'll be in here talking about, I think it was May 7th.
I believe that
was
Tuesday. Yeah.
So it's going to be right after Community Day. We'll get a post-op on that.
No, not May 7th, 17th.
May 17th. Okay. All right. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. That's right. It's a Friday.
Yes.
That's right. Absolutely. All right. And another successful Havasu Pioneers radio show. It should be posted here shortly. And we're going to go to break. I'll give you a parting shot when we come back. Stay with us on Speak Out. Little parting shots. Great show today, Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. We've got Greg from Symphonic Winds coming in tomorrow. I don't think I have a replacement for Brian yet, but, you know, the day is young, right? All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. Have a great day, everybody.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.